Sharon and I were invited over to a home, and at this particular home, we were given a guided tour of their house. And in almost every room that we went, comments were made concerning the beautiful furniture they had. This piece was found in an old barn. That piece was given to us by an aunt. This piece was pushed over to the side in an attic. This piece was found in the back of a store selling antiques. This piece had a top or a side panel missing. And a few pieces, they had paid what we call the market value of them. But most of the pieces of the furniture they had received or bought was less than ever expected. Some had actually sold them, not realizing what they already had. And yet this couple had taken it all, and with time, with patience, with energy, skill, and creativity, they had made something wonderful for their practicality of use as well as to look at. They had taken worthless items to some and made art out of them. And this is the affirmation of sermon today. God can, God has, God does, and God will take a life that seems worthless, feels downtrodden, or without style and form, and the social cultural expectations that are demanded today, and recreate that life as it was meant to be, the art of God. Now, God takes not only those kind of lives, but He will take a life that is what we call a good life, and create that life through faith, hope, and love into a more beautiful and exemplary life in personhood and in character. Taking that which is seemingly worthless and making it become the avenue of worth, the understanding of worth, is the message of the Bible. The biblical message is most clear about mankind taking life into his own hands, however, and molding this life that is to be centered in self, defacing that which is beautiful, made of God. We have taken, all of us, and turned at times art into scrap through a misplaced faith, a loss of hope, a self-centered love, because all of us, Adams and Eves, have camouflaged God's art in personal cover-ups. Genesis describes this beautiful meaning to God's progressive creativity of life, because after all that God created, each day it ends with these words, "And God saw that it was good," which means perfect art. We humans, however, have our individual ways of turning art into a very dark and stark arena that we call the world we live in. I'm not denying the good in life. I'm not denying the good that we should do in life. And yet there are so many dark and stark places about life. I proclaim that we have taken the face of the earth and often defaced it from its beauty and charm because of war, misguided adventures in the guise of progress, and in the eco-economical pursuits of personal gain. Even the face of mankind has been defaced beyond recognition through isolation, rejection, estrangement, and the persecution that comes to a man or a woman's life or a child's life in the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being. The prophet long ago understood this, I think, when Isaiah said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." And in going our own way, I think Isaiah described it. We have taken our lives and even the lives of others and ground them into the mass until we have lost our personal autonomy, our uniqueness, and our responsibility of service beyond ourselves. We may think ourselves to be so individualistic until we isolate ourselves from ourselves, surely from others, and ultimately from God, causing broken relationships and a digression of authenticity that we are the art of God. Just think about it. Every person, the world itself, is the creation of art by the hand of God. You remember the story in Luke chapter 15, the one we call the prodigal son. Well, in truth, the father had two prodigal sons. One went off and kind of paraded the fact that he was going off and did. The other one stayed home and prided himself in who he was. So he had two prodigal sons. But you remember this one. When he came home, finally came home, he invited a low self-esteem, thinking himself lesser than he was, because these are the words he said to his father, "Father, I'm not worthy to be your son." Worthy. "Just make me one of your hired servants." I like to say, "Just let me live over on the back side of the Ponderosa." But the father said in his response, because of the way he responded, "A son you are, and a son you will be. No more, no less, but a son." Turning scrap into art. The inversion of feeling ourselves to be of less worth than we are is expressed in many ways in our lives as human beings. You know, a son or a daughter can grow up being told that they can't do a thing. You won't ever amount to anything. They've never given praise. They're never given the opportunity to achieve. And so they conclude they're not of much value. I say these things because I have experienced this in the lives of others. Married couples can do the same. A spouse may want to make that one over in their own wishes and dreams and causes the other one to be rebellious or passive or withdrawn. Turning art into scrap. Never counting the worth, the value, the beauty, or the significance of it all. But of course, there's another side to this, of feeling less than you really are. And it's one who thinks they have already arrived. They don't need any more. I'm the best piece of art around. Ever prided yourself? Look in the mirror. and it becomes. They're like the poet. I'm the captain of my soul. Not only is it tragic for each man not to claim his true worth, for we humans have a double tragedy. We won't even allow others at times to claim their true worth. Others are the art of God. If you have a precious art item, how do you treat that? Put it in the closet, cut the light out, pile stuff on top of it, hide it. No, we don't. How do we treat people? God's heart. It's a part of life itself. You know, over the years, I've heard things like, you know his family. The next line is, he'll never amount to much. I've heard that several times. I remember that first spoken that I remember when they spoke of the Cope boys in Western North Carolina. Loggers, moonshiners, womanizers, they were called. Never amount. But every person is made in the Imago Dei, the image of God. You are. I am. But like old pieces of furniture, we choose not to take the time or the energy or the resources to spend on people the art of God, whether they're children, their youth, or adults. Do I realize what Bob may do? Do you realize what you may do? The words of Jesus sum all of this up when he said, love one another as I have loved you. You know, some people thought Jesus was not a piece of art. Why, he lived in the distant mountain town called Nazareth. Out from nowhere. He ran around with Galileans who had a dialect that a lot of people couldn't understand. They were backwoodish, as we would say. Chose disciples like that. Or at least they may have had social position like a Matthew, but he was a tax collector. What good religious man would run around with scrap like that? And the words said about him summed it all up. When they heard his words, saw his actions, can anything good ever come out of Nazareth? Surely no art can. A piece of scrap can. The biblical message is clear that though all of this happens to us as human beings, God's love abideth still. It's true in the Old Testament. It's true for the prophet Jeremiah as he spoke to Israel. Why, it was even spoken about David, who was the artistic symbol of the Old Testament. Yet he was a liar, a schemer, and a murderer in our understanding. But he became known as art. And 1 Peter in the New Testament, along with the passages of Jesus, as well as the one read today from Paul, said, once you were no people, but now you're the people of God. You're art. Think well of yourself. Believe in yourself. In one of Dr. Basil Matthews' addresses, he tells of being in the Near East and what we would call the Holy Land understanding of life. And there he was walking on a dusty road and crossing an ancient bridge over the Yarmouk River that flowed down to the Jordan. And he was walking and then he heard music. He thought it was a shepherd's pipe. And he began looking and he could see in the distance a tall Arab boy with a flute in his hand. And there was a donkey behind him and two small girls on this donkey. Finally, they met. They had their salutations to each other and they were talking. And finally, the young man gave Basil Matthews his flute. He took it in his hands and he realized that it was a gun barrel. Where did you get it? Well, I was shepherding one time and I was up here in the hill country and I found it in the sand in this arid desert place. Probably preserved much better than, as we would say, just laying out in our back lawn. He said, I think it came from a combatant out of the Great War, which means 1947, say. There he took it, filed it, sawed it in two, perforated it. And now that which man had made to turn art into scrap was now making the music of the joy of the soul and making understanding of life like peace in the valley. Turning scrap into art. You and I have the marvelous challenge and opportunity to turn unfriendliness into friendliness, indifference into obedience, hatred into acceptance, fear into love, oppression into justice, and hostility into mercy and forgiveness. That's what being an ambassador of Christ is. When you are a new creation in Christ, being a new creation in Christ means that all of us bobs of life will do this, or at least try to do it, attempt to do it, will do it. So think, ponder, open your mind, enlarge your heart. Go where you've never been before. Touch someone you've never touched. Embrace someone you would rather walk away from. Turn scrap into art. I have a friend His name is Frank Bearden. Frank was pastor of the Nichols Baptist Church. He invited with his wife, Sharon, and myself over one night for dinner. Then after the dinner, he said, "Come and let me show you something." So I went with him and went to his workroom. And there in his workroom were two shelves full of owls, other animals, and one large owl made out of white pine stump that had a 28-inch wingspan. One day he was walking with a friend of his there in Nichols, Georgia. Walked around the pig lot. Frank looked over and saw a piece of wood. He said, "May I have that piece of wood?" And the man looked at him as though to say, "That? In the pig pen?" That's what he interpreted. Ultimately, Frank crossed the fence, got the wood, and tried to tell the man what he was going to do with this wood in the pig pen. He made it. He gave it to me. Turning scrap into art. That's what people fulfill in their lives and are fulfilled in their lives in Christ Jesus. From the old to the new. From scrap to art. And you are the art of God. Jesus Christ walked around in his day and picked out people to say, "You're art. You're God's creation." So he picked out a Peter, a Matthew, a Mary Magdalene, a Zacchaeus, a Saul of Tarsus, a Doyle, a Sharon, a Jennifer, a Nathan, a Martha, a William, a Steve, and Bob, and created, recreated art. Will you be clay in the hands of the potter? Let us pray. Eternal Father, we thank you for being the potter, and may our thanksgiving be found in how we will allow you to remold, recreate the defacing of the art that you made us to be, and in Christ that we can become. For it's in your marvelous name that we pray. Amen.